beyond the Cleveland Cavaliers because they'd want me to. But you can't choose that. A lot of things you can't choose. You can't choose a lot of the bad things that happen to you. Right? Things happen to you as a kid, as an adult, whatever it may be. You can't choose that. It happens. It's life. It's tough. But we can choose a lot of things. And sometimes we obsess over choices that are not that big of a deal. Do I get the brown rice or the white rice at Chipotle this afternoon? I'm going with white rice. I don't even care. I just gave up. I don't care about health. White rice. That's not a big deal. Maybe it is to you, but it's not to me. So we can worry about stuff that doesn't matter, these choices we have. We have so many choices every day, different things. But truly, there's a lot of choices that do matter that fly under the radar. And these are the choices we've been talking about, a lot of choices we don't even realize we're making. And so we talked about some of the things. We talked about last week choosing discipline over regret. Well, you could choose, and a lot of times, your pain. You're going to have pain in life, and you can choose which one it is. Choose the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And that's what we talked about last week. If you were missed last week, we do have that message up online now, and you can download it, put it in your phone, listen to it in your car, all that good stuff. But we're going to talk about this week, the final message. I'm going to choose the important over the urgent. Well, let me ask you this. How many wish you had just a few extra hours in your day? Anybody? That would help just slightly? A few extra hours. Maybe in those hours you would get extra sleep. Who would maybe sleep a little bit longer? Then a few extra hours. I might just get an extra nap, sleep in, whatever it might be. Maybe if I had just a few extra hours in my day, I would finally get to that project that's been sitting around the house that, you know, my ceiling, I gotta fix the ceiling and it's falling in. Maybe you already fixed it. I've been a week or two since I've been there, but, you know, maybe you got something that's just been on that back burner. You get to it, finally, about just a couple extra hours. Maybe there's some other important thing that you really would want to do, but it's just a matter of, like, 24 hours is not enough in my day. And we all have time, and this is the crazy thing, and it's hard for me even to process and really want to embrace this, but we all have time for what we choose to have time for. We all have time for what we choose to have time for. Unless you are enslaved, unless you are in a situation where maybe you are 7 years old and your parents are telling you every little second of your life what you can do. I don't know any 7-year-old where that really works out that way. Most 7-year-olds got all the time in the world. But most of us, we feel constricted in our time, but a lot of the things we feel constricted about are things we could choose to do differently. Now, you're going to work, you're going to do, you know, family obligations and all this, but for a big majority of our life, we can choose to do differently if we so wanted to. And so we're going to choose the important over the urgent. That's what we're going to talk about today. If you want to follow along, you can. This helps. Got notes here. So we'll try to fill in some of these blanks. Got 7 points that we'll make at various times here. You can fill that in. So you may think important and urgent, aren't those the same thing? Isn't urgent important? Isn't important urgent? I mean, isn't that all the same thing? And sometimes yes, but sometimes no. Number one here, urgent does not always equal important. Urgent does not always equal important. Okay? Number two, important often does not seem urgent. Does not seem urgent. Important does not often seem urgent. Let me give you an example. Sometimes urgent is important. If I were to, as I'm speaking this morning, slice a blood vessel, thankfully Dr. Liz is here, I'd be in good hands, but I could say, you know what, I gotta keep preaching. You know, my artery is sliced here, but you know, the important thing is to keep preaching. Well, that blood vessel slice is both urgent and important for my life. It may not be important to you, but it'd be important to me and probably my kids and my wife. They probably still care about me. So yes, sometimes it is one and the same. Important can be urgent, but often what seems urgent is not important. I think most of us here have phones. And I don't know if you're like me, when that little red circle with the number on it shows up on the phone, it's like, I gotta kill that thing. Whatever the app is, it's on every app. There's a little red circle, it has a number, 2, 4, 6, 1, 3. I gotta click on the app, go in there, boom, 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 boom. All right, no more updates, no more And I got so many apps on my phone. I mean, this is important. It buzzes. I have to cut my phone off because it's always beeping. I got these updates and this and that. And the news from the NFL is coming through. I got to know who got injured and all this stuff. Not important. Seems urgent because it's always buzzing, right? The phone, the email, the things that are always beeping. And we can get caught up in some of the silliest things. Think of it from a business perspective. You know, if you have an upset customer, I don't know if any business owners here, but you have an upset customer, that's, hey, that seems pretty urgent. We got to deal with this. And it may be important too, but it could be more important to realize what system is creating upset customers at our work here and how do we fix that? If we constantly have the same urgency, constantly hitting the same thing, maybe we could redesign something so we're not getting to this. We're not coming to this and we're living in the middle of these crises all the time. Maybe you have an overdraft in your bank account. I don't know if you've ever had that happen. It's okay. It's happened to me. It's probably happened to many of us. All right. It's just like, let me put in for the negative. It's going to get you $35 fee. And it's crazy. But maybe, you know, it's urgent. It's important. We got to deal with that. But maybe looking at our budget would be more important. Now, why am I getting this overdraft? Why? What's the process that led me to this? And maybe I need a second job. Maybe I need to cut back spending. Maybe I need to, you know, cut cable or whatever it might be. Because I got to deal with the important things before just the urgent. You're driving a car. This could be another thing. And your engine blows up. And wow, that's pretty urgent, pretty important. You got to deal with it. But the thing that slipped, and there was a girl in our youth group back in Virginia, one of the youth leaders, did this very thing. She never changed her oil. Didn't seem important. You know. Driving. All of a sudden, her engine blows up. I was like, Judith, what are you doing? You gotta change your oil. I mean, at some point, you've been driving this car for years. Well, didn't seem important. Well, it was. But a lot of things that are important just don't seem urgent. Like, I can drive another day, and it's not gonna kill it. And another day, and another day, and another day. Till at some point, something's gonna blow up. And it did. There's a business guru, you may have heard this guy, Seth Godin. He says this, if you choose what is important, you won't deal with as many things that are urgent. It's interesting. Won't deal with as many things that are urgent. There's still urgencies that come, things that rise in our life. But here's the thing, the opposite is not true. Choosing the urgent does not shrink down the number of important choices we still need to make. So if you live your life for every crisis and every urgent thing that pops up, you're not going to eliminate the important things from your life. So here's where we're going to look today. We're going to read Luke 10, 38 and 42. Now some of you who are church people, be familiar with this story. This would be like a Bible sitcom. CBS or ABC could probably come up with a good Bible sitcom out of this. Mary and Martha, you know, two broke girls or, you know, golden girl. I don't know. They could come up with something with Mary and Martha. You know, so here's Mary, the story of Mary and Martha. And if you're not a church person, this would be new. This is good stuff. You're learning something. It's all good. Story of two sisters. And it appears that Martha would be the older one. Mary's the younger one. They also have a brother named Lazarus. He's not mentioned in this episode, but he comes in other episodes. Like Urkel showing up on them. Remember that? He'll show up sometimes. And then he became the main character. So we're going to look at Martha for a second here. And she is the older sister. Now, who's an older sibling? Who's the oldest child? You mean oldest child? Got my daughter back there. Okay? In general, the theory is about older children that they're more responsible. Jarell, is that true? Yes, it is. The theory, I'm not saying it's always true, but the theory is they're more responsible. They want to get things done right, done well. And they got it, you know, they kind of hold it all together. Now, the younger siblings sometimes will take on these traits, but the theory with the younger siblings is they're all fun and games and whatever, you know, and it all doesn't matter. And this may be what's playing out in here, I don't know. But in this story, Martha is focused on the details. She's focused on getting things done right. On the other hand, Mary, the younger sister, seems to be more focused on relationships. Less concerned about all the other things that Martha's concerned about. Martha, like many of us, seems to be caught up in the urgent. And so doing, this is the important. So we're going to read it. Verse 38 of Luke 10 says this, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. I don't know if you guys invite people over to your house. We've done that a couple times here and there over summer, every Sunday, have people over. And if you're like us, you go into crazy mode when you invite people over. Like all the stuff that was sitting around all week that didn't matter, you know? All the underwear on the floor, the shoes, this. People are coming. You just go into crazy mode, right? You got to pick this up. That box that was sitting there from Amazon that sat in your front. We got to do something about it now. We got to, you know, it was fine for 2 weeks sitting there, but now we go crazy mode. We got to clean everything up. Make people think we don't actually live here. We don't actually live in this house. We just have people over for Sunday church sometimes. So we go crazy, you know, picking stuff up, start screaming at the kids, "What aren't you doing?" What? You know, but that's a little much. Too much information, right? Okay, so I'm just, you know, let's keep it real. I got 4 kids. So you got to get on them, got to clean up. And, you know, even so, you know, we had church, it was all good. But the good byproduct of that is a clean house once a week. That's good. Now, if my mother-in-law, my wife's mother-in-law, if you're coming over, we don't clean up. Just, we don't care. But if my mother's coming over, then my wife goes into another level of crazy mode. Because I don't know what it is.
Yes.
All right. Good stuff. All right. So we go crazy, and we're cleaning up for my mom, and for some reason it's to another level because something my wife has about impressing my mom, I guess. I don't care as much. But any level, imagine you had Jesus, the Son of God, coming over to your house. That's even worse than the mother-in-law, right? I mean, Jesus, this is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that great I am is coming to my house. We really got to pick up all the stuff. You know, we got to get it looking good. We got to get the right dinner. I mean, we got to, you know, imagine David, what are we going to make him? I'm sure he's vegan. I mean, for real, that's Jesus, right? He's something. Fish, yeah, and loaves. Loaves and fish, you know. So we got to get this right because we got to get the diet, we got to get the meal, menu. Everything's got to be perfect for Jesus. And so Martha takes on this role of making everything right, making it perfect, being the right host. And she has this huge to-do list that looks like it doesn't get done. You ever had that? You're like, people came over and they're pulling the driver. Like, oh, run. You know, you're getting everything, and she's still on it. She's still on the to-do list. She's still getting everything ready, and Jesus and the disciples show up, and she's still on it, and Mary's like, I'm done. I'm going to go chill with them. So verse 39 says this. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. We live in a day and age where it's so easy to get distracted. So many distractions in our lives. So many things that can pull us this way, that way, the other way. Some of these things are not bad things, not negative things. They're just things. And it's so easy to get distracted. So much information. So many opportunities that are in front of us. So many technology issues that we face. Email and phones and all this. It's easy to get distracted. And in this, even in that time, there was things that Martha said, these are preparations that have to be made. This is interesting. We don't know exactly what she was doing, preparing a meal possibly. But what Martha thought was necessary, Mary did not think was necessary. And this is an interesting thing. You know, when I was preparing for this message, I thought about the idea of excellence. And sometimes in the church world, we talk about excellence. I don't know if we talk about it here or not, but there was a movement in the church, especially a few years ago, to make everything excellent. We need to have excellence. Everything's got to be perfect. It's this Martha mentality. Everything's got to get done perfectly. And that's and the reason was because we serve a God of excellence. God's excellent, so we got to be excellent. Man, that's a lot of pressure. You know, and I understand where that's coming from, because God is perfect. God does things right. And so in the world, we try to get them to make sure our order, we got everything structured, we got this, we got this. And so the church, and a lot of churches got to be these churches that really had everything. It's perfect. But it wasn't necessarily better. It was just excellent. And so did that mean Jesus was more present? That people's lives would change more? I don't know. But everything was excellent. And so here's the thing. The pursuit of excellence can be a path of busyness. Think about this. When is good enough? When is clean at your house clean enough? how important is the pursuit of excellence? Are we supposed to, I mean, think about it, are we supposed to be like God? But this pursuit of excellence can be a trap. It can be a trap because there's attributes of God that we are to imitate. God is the God of love, kindness, grace, mercy. Those are things we are to imitate directly. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, these come from the Spirit, Holy Spirit. We are to imitate God in these things, but we cannot imitate God in everything. You cannot be all-knowing. God is all-knowing. I need to learn everything. I need to know everything because God is. I got to be like God. God's all-powerful, but imagine if you tried to be all-powerful because God's all-powerful. The Bible says sometimes the Lord never slumbers or sleeps. Well, trash, I can't sleep. I got to be like God. He never sleeps. I got to be, at some point, our human finite abilities end, and we cannot be like the Creator God. He is excellent. He is perfect. He is holy. He's other than us. And we are to imitate his character, but not everything about God can we imitate. And so sometimes we get caught in this, my life has to be ordered. And maybe it's not about being like God. It's just our personality. I just want to do everything right. It's got to be perfect. Some people are just wired that way. And when it's not, it just really wigs you out. And some aspects, that's a good thing. If you're in school and you want to make good grades, that's probably going to help you. If you're in your job and you want to do a good job, that's going to be a good thing. But we have to sometimes measure this against other things in our life and think, is this just something I'm pursuing because of my personality, or is this really important? Is this really important? Like, my baseboard's having some dust on it when somebody comes over, I got to get this guy. Is that important? Or is it just me trying to be excellent? Because here's the thing, excellence can be a distraction from being present in a relationship. It can be a distraction. This was a distraction of Martha. She didn't want to be present with the people because she was trying to get everything perfect. You can be so caught up on being perfect in your life that you don't actually just stop and be in a relationship with somebody and say, this is me. I have flaws. I'm not perfect. I want to be like Jesus, but I'm just me. And we can actually hide behind that pursuit and try to doctor us all up. And churches do that. Even not just the church as a whole, but the people come into church. Man, everybody else has got it together. Man, I got to act like I got it together. And we all have it together. And nobody's got it together, but we're all acting like we got it together. Because we're excellent. We're with Jesus, But no, we don't. We have flaws. We don't have it together. And we're pursuing the one who does together. We're pursuing Jesus who does have it all together. And he's who we're chasing after. But we don't have to pretend like we have it all together. Excellence can cause us to be impressive rather than authentic. Martha was trying to impress. That's why she was so stressed out. She's trying to be impressive. You ever felt that way? You're trying to impress somebody? It's okay to put your best foot forward. You don't have to be a slob or something. We're not saying that. You don't have to just... But sometimes we put so much effort into being impressive rather than just being who we are. And we don't like who we are, so we want to be somebody else. But that's not the path of life that God has given us. God has created us a certain way. You may, I don't know why I'm this way. I don't know, I like my personality. I don't, my son all the time, Dad, why am I short? Why am I so short? I don't want to be short. Dude, that's just how God made you right now. You're shorter than some other kids. It's okay. Be cool with yourself. Because even if you're short, you know what? And you're small, you work harder. When you go play sports, you work harder because you have to. And that's a good characteristic. There's good things about that. And sometimes we can get caught up in trying to just be impressive and be what we think other people want to see. And he'd think, man, if I was just tall and big, I could be amazing at sports. But you know what? You're building character right now that you wouldn't have to if you were the big kid. You're building this character that really learning a work ethic in your life. Now, I always have these conversations, but it's with us too. Choose to be impressive rather than authentic. I wonder today, honestly, how many of us here today have been distracted by what's most important. I don't know what we've been distracted. There's so many different things. Even including me, sometimes we pursue the urgent, pursue what seems to be important, and we neglect what's truly important. Scripture goes on in this, verse 40. It says, as she came to him, this is Martha, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me! Okay, so this is This is good sibling stuff. This is good sitcom stuff. I mean, this is like tattling on little sister. If you have kids, if you have siblings, you probably know how this works. At some point, you get frustrated with your brothers and sisters, right? Or you see your kids getting frustrated with each other, and they come and tattle. They're not doing this. This is probably a chunk of my day, quite honestly. So-and-so, Lily's not doing this. Olivia, Damon, clean his room. Tattling, that is something that we tend to do. We call them and say, don't you care? Now, I told you this, don't you care? And here's what the Bible says about Jesus. You know, Jesus does care. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, cast all your anxiety on Jesus because he cares for you. This is what Martha's doing. And this is okay. This is good. Sometimes we're stressed, we're anxious, we're worried, we're, man, what's going on? Cast your anxiety on Jesus. He cares for you. Your life is going crazy right now, the best thing you do is cast your anxiety on Jesus because he cares for you. You can tell your friend and they'll be like, okay, all right, whatever. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. So cast your anxiety. But how does Jesus care for Martha? Let's see how. Does he say, oh, okay, whatever you say, Martha, let's just do that. Nope. Let's see how he cares. We'll see he does it in correction, not in compliance. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus responds, not by telling Martha to get up, or by telling Mary to get up and start getting busy, like Martha. No, he says, Martha, truly, I hear you, I love you, but Mary's doing what's more important, and we're not going to take that away from her. Mary has chosen what is better. Mary chose the thing that maybe was less urgent, but truly was more important. Mary was zeroed in on one thing. Martha was stressed out over everything. And the point here is, busy is not always better. Number four, busy is not always better. When we talk about each other, how you doing, man? I'm busy. I even said that today. It's just natural response. I got four kids. We're doing all this stuff. How you doing? I'm busy, man. I'm busy this week. But busy is not always better. We think it is because our life is full of stuff, but it's not. And we think about this, few things are truly needed. There's a lot of things we do, and that's fine, but few things are truly needed. And if we really had a moment to think about our lives, what things in our life do we really need? What are the most important things, and are we spending any time to focus on those things? The key question today, and I want us to think about this, what is the most important thing you have been distracted from pursuing? What's the most important thing in your life you've been distracted from pursuing? Matthew 6:31-33, it's on your page here, says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God will provide what we need. Sometimes we can be so stressed, so worried about all these things. So many things, but few things are needed. What we need is to seek the kingdom of God first and foremost, above everything else. So what's the most important thing you've been distracted from pursuing? Could it quite possibly be pursuing Jesus? Maybe you haven't been feeding on the Word, praying, reading Scripture, aligning your heart with His. So easy to just get sideways on this. We want to do it. We want to put time in there, but so many other things pulling us in different directions. Maybe if you're a parent here, it's your kids. You've been doing things for your kids, but you're not really investing in them and shaping their heart, shaping who they are. It's just running them here, running them there, running them this activity. Got to go here, got to go there. I know, trust me. But am I stopping to listen to them, hear their heart, know what they're going through? Spending time guiding them in the ways of the Lord. That thing that's so important can be pushed to the very end because of all the activities that we have going on. Maybe it's our marriage. Those of you that are married here, you're distracted with kids because we're going here, going there. Or maybe you don't have kids, you're empty nesters. It's just work. It's, you know, TV, just the routine that you have built up. And sometimes we get in these routines, get in these ruts, it's hard to get out of them. Whether you have kids or not, I mean, we can get in this stuff and we just go through it and we don't stop and think, are we really growing in our relationship? We may have been married 25 years, 35 years, but is our relationship still growing? Or have we just kind of stalled out and just one day at a time, we just keep doing the same thing? I know it's hard, but we have to invest in our relationships and put time and effort into those. Maybe it's your physical body. Because of life and how everything goes, it's just like, yeah, I'm going to hit the drive-thru. Give me that McDouble. You know what I'm saying? Got to get that. And whatever it might be, if we're not exercising, we're not eating right, we're not getting enough rest, we're just going, 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 and our physical body is suffering. It could be an internal issue. Maybe you have a habit, an addiction, struggle, and rather than trying to get help, get free, deal with it, you're just pushing it off to the back burner. So, you know, I don't want to think about that. You know, Jesus is going to help me sometime, some way, but I'm going to really just try to just ignore it and keep going. That's not usually how we get free of addiction. It's not usually how we get free of issues in our life. We usually have to face them at all. And so if you got something that you're just bearing and saying, you know, I don't want to deal with that. It's just there, but I don't want to think about it. We got to bring it to the surface and really get help and get healed. That's the important thing. So here's three practical thoughts, and we'll wrap it up with this. How do you choose the important over the urgent? There's a lot of ways, a lot of things. These may be helpful to you, these may not be. But I'm going to just offer them and write them down, and anything that helps you would be great. And I don't say these out of somebody that's great at this. I say out of somebody here that struggles every day choosing the important over the urgent, because I have so much urgent that this is a challenge for me. But here's the first thing. Create artificial deadlines. Due dates for important things. There's a lot of things that are important that we just, you know, we can do it next week, the week after. I mean, let me give you an example. I have an application to be a adjunct professor at Southeastern in my email inbox. It's something I've wanted to do since I was 22 years old. You know how long it's been sitting in there? Several weeks now, at least almost a month. Because it's not urgent, right? I'm busy, I'm doing stuff. But this is something that's important. It's been something that's been on my heart for a long time, and now I have an opportunity, but it's one of those things, just keep pushing off at some point. So something I need to say at the deadline, hey, by Wednesday, I need to have this thing filled out. So we gotta do that, all right, just create artificial deadlines. There's no real deadline, it's just something we created, because I gotta get this done, because it's important. And otherwise, the urgent stuff's just going to take up my day, and I'm going to be, you know, here we are Sunday in another week. And so that's one example. But we got to put things on our calendar, too. You got to schedule a date night. Schedule it, because you won't do it if you don't. You'll just get busy. You'll get tired. You'll do this. You'll do that. And you won't do it. So schedule yourself on your calendar. Schedule the things. If you need to exercise, schedule that on your calendar. On Tuesday, at this time, I'm going to exercise. Not like, when I feel like it, I am, because you're never going to feel like it. You got to schedule these deadlines, these artificial things you're just putting on there that you may say, well, that's not really. Yeah, it is. If it's important, you need to put it on there above all these other things that are going to eat it up. I sometimes, when I'm really struggling with this, I'll use my phone timer. And if I'm struggling to focus, maybe you're at work and you got a lot of stuff to do, and there's little things coming here, I just put 15 minutes. All right, in the next 15 minutes, I got to get do. I got to just get it done. And that helps me to just hone in on what I got to do. Otherwise, you could spend all day just kind of talking to people because I don't stop in your office and you know. And it's like, what did I do? So we got to create these artificial things sometimes. Maybe it's you're cleaning the house on Saturday. Who cleans on Saturday? Anybody? Maybe nobody cleans. Yeah, someone's coming over. Well, you know, cleaning can take all day long, too. If you want to, you can take your whole Saturday and clean. Well, you know, one idea that you could do is just, hey, 1 hour. We're giving it 1 hour. That's it. And we're going to bust for an hour. And after that, we're going to relax. Rather than being in cleaning-ish mode all day long, let's just take an hour, do as much as we can, as hard as we can, and then let's relax and enjoy our Saturday, enjoy each other. It's just artificial deadlines. Number two, be ruthlessly selective about your yeses. Be ruthlessly selective about your yeses. You cannot say yes to everything. You cannot say yes to everything. There's a lot of good opportunities that are going to come your way that you have to make the tough call and say, no, I can't. No, I won't. It's not that I have anything against you, not that that's wrong, bad, or nothing, but I got to make a decision. And I've already scheduled in the important things, and I just don't have time for that. I just don't. You got to be ruthlessly selective about your yeses. This is hard to do. You're going to disappoint somebody. This is sometimes we don't want to disappoint people. Hey, David, can you? Oh, sure. You're going to disappoint somebody. You got to choose, who am I not going to disappoint? Who are the people I'm not going to disappoint? I would think my spouse, my children. That would be up in the list. God, these are the people I'm truly not going to try to disappoint. There's other people that I'm probably going to disappoint along the way because I can't do everything they want me to do. And so you have to choose, who am I not going to disappoint? It could be said that best leaders do not do more. The best leaders do more of what matters most. The best moms do not do more. The best moms do more of what matters most. The best teachers do not do more. They invest their energy in doing more of what matters most. The best and effective followers of Jesus do not do more and more and more and more and more, but they do more of what brings glory to God. There's so many things, even as a Christian. Hey, can you be a part of this? Be a part of this? What is going to bring glory to God? What is God calling me to do? I can't do everything. Practical advice, we need two lists. We need a to-do list and a to-don't list. To-do list and to-don't list. If you don't have a to-do list, probably a good idea. But most people don't have thought about a to-don't list. On that list, you scratch off things that you don't need to do. Like, I don't need to do this. This is not, I was doing it, I don't need to, or I just don't ever need to do that. So many different things. Time wasters, energy drainers. Hobbies that maybe you used to be a part of, but they don't really serve much purpose. They don't really find that much enjoyment in them anyways. Things that we could delegate. Things that somebody else could do, maybe at work. You know, I don't have to do this. Somebody else could do that. I could train somebody else up to do this. Things that we just plain stop doing. One example is I don't change the oil in my car. Now, I have somebody else change it. I do change it. I just don't do it anymore. I used to, back in the day. My dad taught me how to take the little thing out, switch the thing, sense of accomplishment, and doing something. But you know what? For the price, $19.99, I can have somebody else do it. I can go over to Starbucks, and I can actually work on some stuff and prepare things for church or whatever it might be, or just enjoy 45 minutes and go get my car for $19.99. It's just not worth me doing. There's things in life that just, maybe changing the oil is not your thing, because that just brings you joy. See that oil dripping out of there? Oh, I love this. It's great. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Maybe that's you. Probably not, though. There's things in life that you just, I don't churn my own butter. Just go to the store. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? David churned. No, he doesn't churn butter. He churns vegan butter, right? Almond butter, right? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that brings you joy to churn. No, press the button. I don't. So that's a silly example. But there's so many things in life we got to put on to don't live. I don't do that. Because there's no purpose. And I only have 24 hours a day, and I want to choose my time wisely. What's important? So finally, the last one is this. Do first what matters most. So on your to-do list, the calendar, whatever it might be, attack the things that are most important first. This is most important. I'm going to put my time and energy in this. I know for me, it's just from a work standpoint, it's easy to go in and check email first. Feel like you did something. But most of the time, email is not most important. There's other things that are more important that usually get, because they're a little more complicated, get pushed off, right? And so do first what matters most. And here's the clearest illustration, application, interpretation from this passage. What mattered most to Mary, Martha, and Jesus? Was spending time with him. So as we think about this in our lives, do first what matters most. Seek first the kingdom. Probably the most important thing you could do first in your day is to spend time with Jesus. Right?
Yes.
Spend time with him. Do that first. Spend time with him. Now, I used to feel a lot of pressure. I don't know where I came up with an hour. I used to feel like I had to read for an hour and pray. And like, then it got real complicated. I don't have this whole hour-long thing. And I, you know, how do I fit in? I got to take my kids to school. Nobody's saying the exact amount of time. The idea is, what am I doing first in my day? Whether all I have is 10 minutes, I can spend 10 minutes with Jesus before everything starts going nuts. Or I can just go nuts. So do first what matters most. Spend time with him. If it's just 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you can do, do that first. Get your heart right. Get your mind right. Get your life oriented around his. And that's going to be much better than just getting into the craziness of life. Many of us are like Martha. We're busy. We're distracted. Tired. We're running. We're doing. We're going. And the things that matter most have been etched out of our lives. And Kyle, if you'd come this time, we're going to just kind of conclude our time together. As a church, we have to think about, are we going to be more like Martha or are we going to be more like Mary? As a church, for a moment, let's think about this. Because as a church right now, we don't have a whole lot going on for a church. There's churches, trust me, I was in a church in Virginia, D.C. area. A couple thousand people at the church. It was a busy church. They've been every ministry you could think of under the sun. And it's all well and good. I'm not down in that. But, you know, there can be pressure in the church world. But, all right, well, they have this, and they do that. And they have this Tuesday night thing, and they have a Thursday something. Or, all right, we got to get all this stuff going on. We got to get busy. You know, we got to do some stuff. We got to, you know, we want to be somebody. We got to have stuff. And there could be that pressure to try to maybe imitate other places and things. But who do we want to be, like Martha or Mary? And I'm not saying those things are bad. Bible studies are good. Getting together with believers is good. And we want to do that. Serving others, being a part of the community, that's all good. But we want to do what's most important and focus on that. And we talked about this over the summer, that what we really want to be about is making disciples. Making disciples that worship, love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love their neighbors himself. We want to be about reaching out to people that are far from God. Trying to bring hope and help to people that are in need. There's a lot of things you can do as a church. There's so many different things you can study and know and learn. But you can't do everything. And we want to keep focused on the most important things. We want to keep our eyes on what really matters. And not just get into a world of busyness. Because who has time for that? We want to get our lives straight on to what God is calling us to do. What matters most, first and foremost, in this church and in our lives is pursuing Jesus. When we gather, we're here to pursue him, to know him. Not here just to listen to me talk. That's not why you came. You came to pursue Jesus. That's why we're here, to know him better. And if me sharing from the word is helpful, that's good. But we're here for him. We're here to seek after him, to have him be the first priority in our life. As we conclude today, just for a moment, let's think about that question one more time. What is the most important thing I've been distracted from pursuing in your life? What is the most important thing that you've been distracted from pursuing? A lot of other things that maybe seem urgent, maybe seem important, but what is that thing that maybe you've been distracted from lately? Or you can think of it this way, like Martha, what am I so worried and upset about? What's causing me anxiety? What's causing me to fret, to be upset, to struggle? Am I bringing this to Jesus? Am I casting this on the one who cares for me? And last question, what is the one thing that is needed in my life right now? So Jesus said there's really only one thing that's needed. A lot of things seem important. What's truly needed in your life right now? I don't know the answer to that. But I bet if we just take a moment as Kyle's playing, take a moment quietly before the Lord to say, Lord, what's really needed in my life right now? Where I'm at this point, this season, this stage? What's needed in my life? Well, I believe the Lord will speak to us in a way that would make sense. Let's just take a couple minutes now as Kyle plays, just to reflect on that. If you want to close your eyes, you just want to bow your heads, that's great. However, you can just focus in on what God is saying to you.
The more I see